Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. This week, a special edition of the Issue Is podcast, an extended interview with California gubernatorial candidate Caitlyn Jenner. It is her first televised interview with a California political reporter. She's done some interviews with national outlets, but not with California outlets. And I know there's been some frustration from some of us in California that those national anchors who are great didn't really probe into California issues because that's not what they do. But on this interview, we do. We probe on issues like homelessness and regulations and education in this state and other issues that really matter to people. We talk about Caitlyn Jenner's voting history. We talk about her qualifications. We talk about her family. We talk about trans rights. It is a wide-ranging interview that's really interesting. It's gotten a lot of attention already from everybody from TMZ to Politico to the Daily Mail to Univision. People all over the world are talking about this interview. It's one of the most talked about interviews we've ever done. And this is the full unedited version of it. Includes material that didn't had to be cut for time for the TV broadcast, but is included in this podcast. And I think gives you a good sense of where she's at and what she thinks about a lot of issues. And I'm really interested to hear your feedback, too. So she's in studio. It's our first in-studio guest we've had in over a year. Here is Caitlyn Jenner.
Broadcasting across California, California's only statewide political show. You're watching The Issue Is.
And welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson, and for the first time in more than a year, we have an actual guest in the studio, a real human being.
A human being.
Yes.
Right next to you, we can actually talk.
Yes, and of course, a guest
on Zoom
that needs no introduction, Caitlyn Jenner, Republican candidate for governor. Welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. I have one of your mother's brownies.
Yeah.
So I feel at home. Thank you, Mom.
Yes, there we go. She bakes brownies for all of our guests. And you are, this is the first interview you've done on TV with the California journalist, and we're grateful that you're doing it with us here on The Issue Is.
It really is. I've been doing a lot of national stuff, but we're now kind of changing and doing more local because obviously we're in California, we're running for governor in California, and the issues are really important to all your listeners.
Well, and let's dig into them, but let's begin though with the first question I ask everybody that sits in that chair, which is why you? You know, this is a big state. Fifth largest economy in the world. Why are you, Caitlyn Jenner, the most qualified person to run this state out of the 40 million people who live here?
I think I've been preparing for this moment pretty much all my life. I've always been in, since I've been in California. Now, I came to California in 1973. I drove my 63 VW Bug from Iowa, where I graduated from college. I literally went off the stage, threw my camping gown in the back seat of my 63 VW Bug, and I was going to the Golden State. I was going to California, man. I'm so excited. I can remember when I passed the sign, you know, welcome to California. And gas at that time was 39 cents a gallon. Taxes right now are over 50%, or 50 cents a gallon. And it was a different California back then. I surrounded myself with some of the greatest people athletically. I learned so much from them. Went on to win the games. I was the first American to put the American flag up. This is our bicentennial year at the finish line. So proud to be an American, proud to bring the gold medal back to California. But now, over all of these years, I've also watched the decline of California, and I've seen where it's gone. I love this state. So many of my friends have left this state. I've lived in Malibu really since 1976. Honestly, I don't want to leave. Yeah. I want to be an example to so many people that, you know, if you don't like what's going on, stand up. And I'm willing to stand up. If you don't like what's going on in your, you know, your town's education department, you know, run for, you know, the education department. Run, if you don't like what's going on in your town, run for city council. Get in a place where you can make a change. I go to Sacramento with the same ambition and thought and winning spirit. as I had when I came out here. But now I'm in a different race. I'm in a race for solutions. And we have to find those solutions. And I want to surround myself like I did before with the greatest minds in the economy. We've got to change the state.
So who are some of those great minds? Who are some of the people that are on your team that you're talking about? Any big names?
Well, yes, actually quite a big few names. When I decided to do this, I was approached by some Republican friends of mine. I've always been a Republican. By Republican friends and said, you know, you should do this. You're the only person that could really come out here and be able to, in a recall election, because we know it's different, to be able to win this thing. And I said, well, the first thing I had to do is I have to surround myself with some of the best minds out there. You know, politically to run a campaign, Brad Parscale is kind of head of the campaign.
He was the Trump campaign manager.
The Trump campaign manager. He does the digital stuff. We have worked very closely together. Jim Brulte, who's been involved in government here for another one.
Used to be the chairman of the California Republican Party.
Yeah, he's on board. Ryan Irwin, and he's been in California politics for years. We really assembled a good group of people, so I felt comfortable enough with enough good people
around me that
we can run.
From a policy perspective, who is like the key advisor on that?
Right now, as far as we have different policy, there's a lot of things.
Right.
Leo Hanian, who's with the Hoover Institute, is one of the smartest people I've ever seen. For years, he has studied nothing but regulations.
Yeah.
The big issues are in California and why people are leaving. People are leaving not because of our beaches, not because of Yosemite.
Right.
They're leaving for one reason only, and that is an overbearing, overburdened, overtaxed, overregulated state. It's just not a good place to do business any longer.
Yeah.
In fact, when they measured how friendly each state is towards business, California, congratulations, out of 50 states, ranked 49th.
Yeah.
And thank you, New Jersey. But Gavin Newsom's going after New Jersey. He's going to go after New Jersey. So we just don't have a friendly business environment, and we have to improve that.
Right.
And we have to be pro-business.
We'll get more into the specifics in a moment. Just one other quick question about your team. Kim Kardashian, an advisor to President Trump, an advisor to many people in the Senate on the issue of criminal justice reform.
Yes.
Is she an advisor to you on that issue, which is such an important issue in this state?
I talked to all my family about running for governor. And to be honest with you, it was easier to come out as trans than as a Republican candidate. As a Republican candidate for governor was a lot tougher to sell. I think Kimberly has done an amazing job with criminal justice reform. I think she's spot on. I have not asked her to be involved in my campaign, but I guarantee you, as time goes on and I become governor, I'm sure she'll have my ear. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
That's a big issue. Let's talk, dig into some of the issues as well. We asked our viewers, what did they want to know? And the number one thing people wanted to hear about was homelessness, which is such a big problem on the streets of California.
So many people are leaving.
Your governor,
what's
executive action number one when it comes to homelessness?
The first problem we have with homelessness is regulations. To be honest with you, we cannot build any longer in California. It is so difficult.
So what's regulation number one that you cut?
CEQA is the California Environmental Quality Act, which actually Ronald Reagan in 1970 started about the environment, which was a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm all for the environment. But, I mean, I can remember, and we're doing a good job.
So how do
we can certainly do better.
How do you change CEQA?
First thing I would do is on all regulations, we have 21.2 million words of regulations in the state of California, okay? CEQA, that opened the door for the environmentalists, and over the last 50 years, they piled on more and more regulations to where today in the state, honestly, you can't build any longer. You can't renovate buildings. That's why we have the most expensive real estate in the nation. It just went from $700,000 to $800,000 for the medium home. Coming out of school, even the rents have gone up so much. Why? Because we have no affordable housing.
So what do we do?
I think it's a combination between what government, number one, and government has to have the priority to change this, okay? You have to get on the ground, work with religious organizations, charitable organizations, corporations. All these people want to be able to build affordable housing for them. But they can't do it because it would take 6-7 years just to get a permit to be able to renovate a building. And that has to be streamlined. The permit process has to be streamlined. We have to, as governor, have the priority to do that. Right now, Gavin Newsom does not have the priority to fix these things. It's only gotten worse since he has been in office.
So, but in terms of a specific change, what's a specific change that you would make when it comes to homelessness that would change some of that?
Work with charitable groups to build affordable housing and work with different organizations. The problem is, I was down just recently down at the Salvation Army. Wonderful people.
Yeah.
Doing wonderful work downtown. Okay, housing people, but they can't even expand. They're filled to the rim, but they can't even, they got a building on the other side that they want to renovate to be able to put more people in, and they can't get the permits to do it.
Yeah.
You have to have a priority. You got to kind of get on the ground, go into those areas, and to be able to fix this problem so we can get the people off the street and into affordable housing.
Kevin Faulkner, who's running for governor as well, when he was mayor of San Diego, made it illegal for people to camp on the streets, mm-hmm. outlawed tents.
Right.
Do you think that's a good idea?
We have to do something about that, yes. When you drive in Beverly Hills and you look at the park and there's tents in the park, we have to look at that issue very seriously.
So do you think that we need to make it easier for people to be forced into treatment? Because part of the challenge, a lot of law enforcement will say, is that, look, a lot of these people don't want to go into shelters. No. They don't want help. Do you think we need to change the rules so that they are forced into treatment more?
I hate to say forced. Encourage might be a better word.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of the people there's mental issues that are involved here. Some people just like living on the street. They like the freedom of that. Okay, there's a different way. But to be honest with you, on a big picture, living in a tent in a park in Beverly Hills, it's just different today. Before, the homeless were all downtown.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been downtown. I mean, you walk down there, and it's just like so tough, so difficult on these people. 50% of all homeless people in the nation live in California. 25% of those live in Southern California. So we have a massive problem here with homelessness and dealing with mental issues. We need to do a better job. But the only way you're going to get it done is to have a governor who's going to make that a priority, to be able to work with the cities, to be able to get it done. And the big thing is building.
But the current governor is proposing $12 billion mm-hmm. in spending for homelessness, which is the biggest spend ever on that, mm-hmm. and is working with cities on that process. I mean, what specifically is going to be different, though, from a policy perspective with you?
The problem is he's not getting anything done. Gavin Newsom is a politician. He does whatever he politically is correct for him. I wouldn't be that way. I would be a hands-on governor. I don't owe one favor to one special interest group in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Okay, not one. I don't have political favors out there. I'm here for the people of California, and that's why I'm running.
So let's talk about spending, because you've said that we spend too much. How much do we spend in our budget? How much is the California budget, and how big should it be with you?
Well, right now, we had a $16.2 billion surplus the last budget.
But how big is the budget itself?
Yeah, this is the last proposed budget.
Yeah.
Then Biden has come in, and he's enriching that to the point where, you know, Gavin Newsom is using his budget with this recall rebate to give checks to people for $700. There's so much surplus.
$600.
It changes all the time. He's using it for his own political purposes. We need to be responsible with the budget.
But if we have too much money, shouldn't people get some of their money back? Isn't that a good thing? Republicans like the idea of tax rebates?
Not for a political favor to vote for them. Yeah. When I, just show the hypocrisy of all of this, when I was talking to some people about running, of course, in politics, you can't get any secret. You know, you can't keep a secret. Things sneak out. And it snuck out that I was looking into doing this. The next day, Gavin Newsom had a press conference and said the state is opening up on June 15th. I'm laying there in bed watching this, and I'm thinking, it's already working.
Right.
He's going to change his mind so quickly now because he's got the recall that he's going to be, you know.
But part of the budget requirements in the state is if we have a big enough surplus, they have to give money back.
Yeah.
So is this a recall rebate, or is this literally following
a recall rebate? And he didn't come up until he decided he was going to be recalled. And so,
well,
to me,
that's hypocrisy.
So it is absolute hypocrisy.
But how big is the budget itself? How big is the current budget?
Well,
what do you want it to be?
All I know, because I've worked with Jim Brulte on this subject, and we've had meetings on it and looked over the entire budget. I look at it this. We spend almost $100 billion on education. It's close to it. State puts in about 80, and then local people put in stuff. And it's almost $100 billion. And what are we getting for it? A failing educational system. And it shouldn't be that way. We may have to make education a priority, not use it as a political tool for this last year and shut the state down.
Well, I mean,
these kids have lost a year of education, a year of social sports activities. The list goes on.
So the total budget is around $200 billion.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody running for government should know that. What should the total budget be if you were governor?
You're trying to pin me down on putting an exact number out there. The revenue is raised through the citizens and corporations. Right now, we are the highest taxed state in the union. Okay? We have the most regulations. Companies are leaving because they're not in a friendly business environment.
Right.
I was talking with the head of Oracle, and I said, why did you leave? And he says it just wasn't a good place to do business any longer. Okay? If we have a surplus, maybe we should lower our tax situation. Maybe we should create a friendly business environment in the state of California. Now, I know we have more to offer. We're never going to get to a zero tax state. Okay, it's just not going to happen. We're not going to be like Florida and other states that are doing that. I understand that. We've got more natural resources in this state, okay? And people want to stay here.
Right.
Okay? But we have to have what I would consider a friendly tax structure towards businesses to keep them here.
Well, let's talk about taxes, because there was a report in Bloomberg that showed that middle-class people in Texas actually pay more taxes than here in California.
Right.
Rich people in California pay way more taxes. Do you think that taxes on the rich should be lowered in California?
I think it's an issue. I haven't gotten strongly into exactly what we're going to have. I'm working with Jim Brulte and a lot of other people on a lot of the tax issues. Right now, I am running against the hypocrisy that's out there. In Sacramento, I'm running against our schools that have been closed for the last year. I put it this way, and I think Gavin Newsom has done a horrible job. And the reason for this recall is I think the mothers of this state are just furious because they've had to stay home. They've missed jobs. I put it this way. Gavin Newsom wasn't for the people. He was for the elites. Gavin Newsom wasn't for the kids, he was for the unions. Well, Gavin Newsom wasn't for the workers, he was for himself.
Well, and let's,
he shut us down while he lived it up at the French Laundry.
Yeah.
Total hypocrisy.
Let's talk about that.
That's what I'm running against.
Let's talk about education, because you put out a tweet this week saying, I know a thing or two about winning. I took on the Soviet Union, and I'll take on the teachers union. Obviously,
right.
In reference to your extraordinary win at the Olympics back in 1976 when you beat a Soviet athlete there. How are you going to take on the teachers union, real specifically, legislatively? What are you going to do differently on education?
Put it this, you're getting down into specifics, but...
Well, isn't it specifics important?
What I want to do is I want to put a child's education back in the hands of the parents. Right now, it is not in the hands of the parents. It's in the hands of the teachers union, what the teachers union want to do. Gavin Newsom has done nothing but do exactly what the teachers union wanted. Other governors, when it comes to COVID and why they've been shut down for a year, other governors have done it different ways. A good example, Disney World in Orlando opened up last July.
Right, and we have not seen major problems because of it, and there are major questions about why Disneyland here was. But in terms of schools,
and Disneyland just opened up.
Schools though are opening.
That's called leadership.
Right,
schools, and we don't have leadership in this state.
But schools are opening up in June to in-person learning again. So when you say
that's what they say.
When you say you're going to take on the teachers union. Mm-hmm. How does schools look differently next year? What specifically do you mean when you say you're going to take on the teachers union?
I don't want the teachers union to be in control of what our kids are learning. I want, as far as education, multiple levels. We've got public schools, obviously, that have to be improved. They're failing here in this state, and we're spending tons of money. You know, we have charter schools. I am a big component of, I would like to be one of the first states to really develop technical schools.
Yeah.
People need to learn a skill. They need to learn these skills that they can actually go out and get a job. Me, I was never a big advocate of you have to go to college. I have a lot of children. Two actually graduated from college, but everyone at a very young age went out and started working and were smart.
Yeah.
And so I'm not a big advocate of you have to get that college education. Going out and getting a four-year degree in liberal arts, okay, and then not being able to find a job when it's over with is another one.
Right, but
so
that's a different.
I'm a big advocate of technical schools, and we have the money to do those types of things.
That's different than the teachers union.
What we have to do is we have to have the priorities.
Yeah, so let's talk for a moment about voting and clear up some confusion, because I want to give you a chance to clear up some confusion. So you did this interview with CNN with Dana Bash, and she asked you about whether you voted in the 2020 election, and then this is what you said. You said you didn't vote for Donald Trump, and then you didn't vote at all. Here's some of that.
Time. Did you vote down ticket?
It was voting day, and I thought the only thing out here in California that I worry about, which affects people, is the propositions that were out there. And I didn't see any propositions that I really had one side or the other. And so it was election day, and I just couldn't get excited about it. And I just wound up going to play golf, and I said, I'm not doing that.
So the Politico found the fact that was the receipts of the fact that you did apparently vote in that election, according to the registrar. Mm-hmm. So did you vote? Did you not vote?
You know,
clear
I'm like
up.
Any other Californian. I some years I voted, some years I haven't voted. Presidential elections in this state, it's a heavily Democratic state. Voting for the president, the president is not going to win that. My voting record is public, and I vote sometimes, don't vote another time.
But you did vote in that election, though, right? Even though you told Dana that you didn't?
It was mail-in balloting, They were, you know, a couple of people at the House, and we're all sitting around, oh, should we do this? And I'm pretty sure it was probably sent in. But I didn't go to the mail. You know, I didn't do it the old-fashioned way. I'm an old-fashioned person.
Yeah.
You know, I'm common sense. I like going, sitting there in the little booth and banging away.
There was an option, though, to do in-person voting in the last election. But I'm curious, how do you get people excited to vote? Because the records show you voted in 10 out of 26 statewide elections. And focus on the fact that you're passionate about these issues when you didn't vote in so many different elections.
I think it's important for, first of all, I want a voting system that it's easy to vote and impossible to cheat. I think voter integrity is going to be an extremely important issue in the future in California. It certainly has been in other states ever since the last election. And I would like to do my best to make sure that voting is easy. And, you know, it's impossible to cheat.
Yeah.
We need a fair election system. I think if the Californians realize it was more of a fair and that their vote really counted, I think you'd get more people to vote.
Yeah. Although we did have record turnout in the last election.
Yeah. Let's
talk for a moment about a vote that would be really important for you if you became the governor. If you became the governor and Dianne Feinstein happened to retire next year,
right,
you would be in charge of picking her replacement. And if you picked a Republican, it would change the balance of power for the United States Senate. Mitch McConnell mm-hmm. would become the majority leader. Would you pick a Republican in that scenario?
I would pick the best person qualified for the job. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Vegetarian. It doesn't make any difference to me. I am an inclusive Republican. I'm very different than what you think of as most Republicans. I'm not in this little box because you think, oh, my gosh, you're a Republican. You have to think this way. Just look at me.
No, I know you aren't. There's no doubt about that.
I am the poster child for change.
Which is great.
But I've seen a lot in my life. I've seen a lot. So I would pick the best qualified person for the job.
But in the Senate, which party you are really matters, because that controls who's the majority leader, who's getting committee chairs, all that. And there's some Republicans that might think, you know, we want to vote for you. We're going to get a Republican in there.
Totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I would do my best to pick the best qualified person. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. One other quick question. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Who ran for governor, obviously won before. Mm-hmm. I know you guys have spoken, and he gave you some advice. What did he say to you?
Arnold and I have been friends since 1975. Been friends for a long time. Before everything. We met in the gym. And we've been friends ever since. When he was governor, he put me as the commissioner of the California Athletic Commission. I did that for a couple of years, controlling contact sports in the state. We've been good friends. And so when I was getting to the point where I was putting this team together and giving my final yay or nay on this issue, the first person I called was Arnold. And I said, okay, Arnold, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? I said, how was the experience for you? He said, first of all, the campaigning was the fun part. He goes, meeting the people, getting out there. Once you get up to Sacramento, it becomes a little bit more work dealing with people. He says, but I liked everybody. He says, whether Republican, Democrat, whatever the issues were, I just tried to do my best with everybody and hopefully make the right decision. But he said, overall, it was a really good experience for him. And that was kind of like the last straw last thing I had to get over, that I've been through so much in my life, okay? I've, won the games, been a successful entrepreneur, raised 10 wonderful children, have 18 grandchildren. I've had a great life, you know? And I want to take all that wisdom and that fight and try to do the best. Why? Because I love California. You know, I want to do my best to save this state. Yeah. And to turn the corner, because if we continue down this road, we're not going to have a state. Right. I just saw a thing yesterday that 10% of the people in L.A. County said they're going to leave in the next year. If people keep moving out, the California dream is over with.
Yeah, and that was USC Dorn said.
We can't have a healthy America with a sick California.
Yeah.
California's sick.
And this is the greatest state in the country. A quick question just about you. You had this very high-profile transition, the mm-hmm. most prominent trans person in the world.
I did.
It is Pride. Yeah. Happy Pride Month to you. And I'm wondering what you learned about empathy during that process that might reflect in the way you would govern this state.
I learned so many people struggle with things in their lives. And the last hurdle I had to get over with, after talking to all my children and everything, I'm a person of faith, and to talk to my pastor, because I don't care if you have any issues in your life, you always look back and say, you know, God, why did you do this to me? Why are these thoughts in my head that I cannot get rid of? Mm-hmm. And is there a reason for this? And after talking with my pastor and really going over it, I finally came to the conclusion that maybe this is the reason God put me on this earth, to live my life authentically, number one, and maybe to make a difference. The trans community is the most marginalized community in the world, and it doesn't have borders. It's part of humanity. And maybe I can make a difference. Since transition, that gave me the impetus to transition. Since then, my personal life has become so much better. Honestly, I just wake up in the morning and be myself all day. I don't have any more secrets. I did a book, Secrets of My Life. Yeah. I told every secret I have. I have no more secrets. And it gave me the opportunity to do other things, like run for... I couldn't do this in the old days. I had too much confusion. I can do it now.
Yeah.
You know? And so I've learned a lot. Learned a lot about men, women. I've just... you know, transitioning, all of that stuff. I just think I can bring something special to the state.
I want to compliment you on the bravery to be you. And I think that sends just such a beautiful message to the people.
It takes longer to get ready in the morning. Yeah. But after that, boom, Alex, I got it.
Yeah, and you look great. Let's end with a game that we like to play called Personal Issues, which is 30 seconds of fun.
That's tough with me. Personal issues.
Not too personal.
Okay, good.
These are rapid-fire questions. We put 30 seconds up on the clock to get to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
So here we go. This is some cultural stuff. What is your favorite TV show right now?
Overhauling.
Favorite band or musical artist?
Ooh, my son Brandon.
Ah, good.
Yes,
good
my pick. Son Brandon. He's very talented. I love Brandon.
Favorite book?
Well, honestly, the last one I've written 3 or 4 books. The last one, I was so proud of the book, Secrets of My Life. It told everything. It was so well written. I did work with this guy, Buzz Bissinger, and it's by far.
He's something else.
Yeah.
And favorite athlete?
Ooh, Tom Brady.
Oh, nice call.
I admire his career, the way he's handled his career. I really like that.
And the last question we ask in this is, who's your role model?
Boy, I have a lot of role models in my life. Anybody who's done something extraordinary, I put them up. I don't care if it's athletically, business, and this. I respect their hard work. Yeah. And I respect my role models are people who have worked hard, been able to accomplish a lot, but then turn around and help other people. Those are the people that I really, really admire.
And as last word, anything else you want to add? How are you going to win this thing? How you pull this off?
Hard work. You know, I went up against the Russians, you know, the Soviets back then, and I didn't win because I was just sitting around. I'm really looking forward to the next few months whenever they decide this thing is actually going to happen. And meeting the people, telling them my views, telling them they're from them. I'm here for the people of California.
Well, we look forward to it. Yeah. We really are grateful that you came on the show today.
And I'm so honored to be the first one.
Yeah, we love having you
all
here.
All your teams out there, you know.
They're very excited.
They're funny. Congratulations. Welcome back, everybody.
And we always end with music on this show. So I was trying to think, what is the perfect song for you? And then I just thought, well, it should be you. So we have a clip of the masked singer.
I'm afraid. Don't do this to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so bad.
It was so fun. I mean, you look at everybody, the joy on the faces of the judges.
I had a good time doing this.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the costume designers and putting that stuff together, that costume was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like in shock. I can't believe people can actually build this thing. I'm not a singer.
Yeah.
They asked me to do it. This is right as the pandemic, was coming down. I had not done anything for so long. They asked to do it, and I said, hey, why not?
Why not? It was a lot of fun.
I did have a lot of fun, but I was glad I was the first one to go.
Yeah, well.
In my group.
Well, we had a lot of fun having you on The Issue Is, and we will end with your song as we say goodbye. Caitlin, thank you so much, and great to have you here on The Issue Is.
It was great to be on the show. Yeah. Thank you.
Here we go.
Tick tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. Oh, 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 oh.
Our thanks to Caitlin Jenner. Really appreciated that conversation. Next week, our conversation with Edward Isaac Dover, Battle for the Soul of the Democratic Party. Great book out right now. I look forward to that conversation. And look forward to hearing your feedback on this Caitlin Jenner interview as well. Again, social media for me is at Alex Michelson. That's Alex with an E. And theissueisshow.com is our website. Thank you for listening. Please share this out to your friends if you get an opportunity to. I'm Alex Michelson. See you next week.